Knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Nation and nature praise God. They show forth gratitude to their maker. In Genesis chapter 1, God created all things. He called to be those things that are not, and they are. Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is of the Lord, and the fullness thereof. All things in nature are product of God's marvelous deeds. The sun, the moon, the star, mountains, the trees, the flowers, the sea, and the ocean, the rivers, the firmament. But the question is, what were they doing outside, serving as food, tourist attraction, economy? Psalm 19 verse 2 has this to say, the utter speech. These nature things that God created, the utter speech. Number 2, they show knowledge. Number 3, their voice is heard in all languages. There is no language that people do not see or can visualize. And the work of God through the nature are all true things that God has created. No wonder Jesus said, if these children should stop praising me, the stone will speak. The question is, what were they saying? They were praising their maker. They were showing forth their gratitude unto their maker. They understand that God is their maker. They did not come into being by their own, active or by their own thinking. Somebody called them into being, and they appreciated this. Number 2, they were showing their gratitude to the King of the universe. They understand that God is the one that controls and rules in the affairs of men. Number 3, they are acknowledging that their existence is from God, that they did not just exist or come into being by their power. God brought them into being by his creative voice, by his creative power. So they are appreciating God for this particular thing that God has done, even for them. Number 4, they were appreciating the fact that God is their sustainer. It is one thing to be alive. It is another thing to be living a sustaining life, to be in the good book and in the right order of things. They appreciate this, that God is the one that is sustaining them. It is not their power. They did not have any farm that they go to. They did not have any water, borehole that they drill, but they never lack all these things. So they appreciate God, that God is their sustainer. How do they do this thing? They show this when the flower of the bush blossoms, releases its fragrance even unto the world. People see it and they appreciate God. When trees bring out their fruit, they are showing forth that God is good unto them. When the sea and the water roar, when the field are joyful and the trees of the wood rejoice. That's found in the book of Psalm 96 verse 12. Even the flood, they clap their hands. That is how creation show forth their gratitude unto God. When animals like lion roar in the jungle, bears like eagle soar in the firmament, mammals like whale and dolphins bellow. This is because their sound made determines their survival. As such, they appreciate God. Listen, people, if creature and nature can offer such things to God, appreciating God for what God has done, how much more are the nations? Bible says in book of Psalm 48 verse 1, he said, clap your hands, all ye people, sing a song of redemption. The expectation of God is for us to appreciate him, to show forth gratitude unto God. Sometimes we may look at our situation, the circumstances that surrounds us, the situation we find ourselves, the situation of the country, the situation of the environment, and we may think God has not been good unto us. The animals of the field, they appreciate God. The trees of the forest, they appreciate God. So we too, we are to praise him. One of the reasons why we praise God is because God is the desire of all nations. In the book of Haggai 2 verse 7, he said he is the desire of all nations. Another reason why we praise God, that this world is not just going to be like this forever. God will judge all unrighteousness. He will judge the whole nation. Another reason is that all nations shall flock to him, because he is our maker, and all nations shall serve him. Therefore, I want to tell you today that it is expected of us as a human being, as a nation, as a creation of God, that we should appreciate him, we should praise him, we should show forth our gratitude to him all day. The nation of Israel praised him in the wilderness, and God delivered, you know, meals into their hand. He delivered Moab into their hand. When nations praise God, they admit their dependence on him. They admit that everything is from God, and God is their maker and the strength of their life. Forget about what you are passing through. Forget about the circumstances that you find yourself in. Forget about the condition of the economy of the nation or economy of your family. Know and see that God has been good unto you. He provided the air that you breathe. He provided the water that you drink. He provided everything concerning your life. Show forth your gratitude unto him, and God will continue to strengthen and shower his blessing on us in Jesus' name.
King Adam, mortals give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I said, rejoice. Is Savior is the God of truth and love. When he appointed his steps, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say.
Why we need to appreciate him for saving our souls, for putting off his glorious garment in heaven, for laying down his crown in heaven, for coming to the world in form of a man. Yes, we give him glory for all that he did, for the perfection of his work, especially the work of our salvation on the cross of Calvary. It is true that we are indebted to Jesus. Considering what he did, considering how much he suffered, considering how much he paid, how much he sacrificed, consider how he offered himself to be killed in our place for the salvation of our soul, of which we have no input. No wonder the book of Matthew chapter 27 verse 51 to 53 says, at once. Curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rock split apart. Grave opened and many God's people were raised to life. Then after Jesus had risen to life, they came out of their graves and went into the holy city, where they were seen by many people. I want you to note the phrase, after his resurrection, meaning that it is the resurrection that removes every hindrance, that removed every impediment, that removed every obstruction from our ways of salvation. It is resurrection that won us salvation. The Bible even says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men for the perfection of our salvation. That is why he put off his reputation. That is why he took upon himself the form of a servant. That is why he was made in the likeness of men. Have you appreciated this grace? Have you appreciated this sacrificial work? How? By giving your life to him. He's coming to the world, he's suffering prior to his crucifixion. His crucifixion, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension have all brought us salvation that we are all enjoying today. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, if Christ had not risen, our faith would have been in vain. So we appreciate him. We praise him for he died, and he did not only die, he resurrected for our sake. I have never seen such kindness displayed among human beings for somebody to die in the place of another. In fact, he has done wonderful things for us. No wonder this Yoruba song says, Iku oro ti umbaku. Iya ese ti unba je gbogbo re lo ti ko lo Jesu Oluwa o ma se o tori mi lo se diya. That song simply says the death of torment who have died, Jesus has taken everything away. The punishment of our sins, Jesus has taken everything away. It is the song that reminds me of the story of two brothers from the same parents. One was cool-headed, but the other was troublesome, rebellious, and violent. The elder brother used to advise his younger brother to tread softly and take things gently, but he would not yield the warning. One day, this younger brother went out and caused trouble, as usual, with another person. And the cause of their struggle, he killed the person. Having seen that the man had died, he took to his heels and ran away, not knowing that some people were seeing him. And as he was running away with the blood stain on his clothes, these people started pursuing him. To enter his house. When this brother entered, he saw his elder brother, his cool-headed brother, who asked him what was wrong and why he was running. He then narrated the whole incident to him, and his brother told him, haven't I warned you severally to tread softly? He then collected his blood-stained garment and removed his own clothes, put it on him while he wore the blood-stained garment. He then pushed him into the room while he went towards the door and told his brother, always remember to keep this clothes clean. As he moved towards the door, those that were pursuing his brother met him and at the entrance, and without asking any question, they took him, beat him up, they beat him mercilessly before handing him to the police and from the police station to the court, and when his case was called, the man was condemned. Why? Because he was guilty of the offense. He was guilty of the crime. He was judged and ordered to be killed as he killed another person. This was how this innocent elder brother that knew nothing about the murder was taken to where he would be killed. At this, the younger brother was pricked in his conscience and he was disturbed that his elder brother is condemned for the crime he knew nothing about. And as such, ran to the court and decided to go and make confession that he is the murderer, not his brother. And he is the one that should have been arrested and punished, not his brother. But was told that his brother had already been to where he would be killed. He ran to the place, but it was quite unfortunate and highly regrettable that the brother has already been hanged. Then he remembered the last word of his brother, "Always remember to keep this cloth clean." And that was how he broke down, wept bitterly, and was rolling on the floor. And as a result, made confession of his sins and gave his life to Jesus. Jesus did just that and even beyond for us. Yes, he died in our place. The Bible even says, when we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Meaning, when he did not see anything that could have attracted us to him, yes, he agreed to lay it down at the cross. He agreed to lay his life down at the cross. Before resurrection, the OT saints that died had no privilege of going directly to the presence of God. But immediately Jesus died, the veil of the temple torn into two parts, from top to bottom. And that alone opened passage to every one of my listeners to access the presence of God, to go to where God is. And that is why we have the grace today to talk to God on one-on-one platform. Brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, have you appropriated this grace? Have you accepted this grace? Have you given your life to Jesus? Because that is the only way you can reciprocate the love and praise him for what he did for us on the cross. If you have not done that, this is another time. Because no man would do what Jesus did for us. I was listening to a radio program one day, and in this program, they were talking of a mother of 3 to 4 weeks old child whose child was sick, and she was asked to donate blood for a sick child. But she said, "My religion does not allow that." The medical practitioner tried their best, went as far as looking for other individuals who could have donated blood, but the woman insisted that not in my sight that this child will be given blood. Eventually, the child died. Brothers and sisters, Jesus did not only donate his blood, he gave us his life so that we can have life even hereafter. If you have not accepted that grace, this is the time that you can accept it. If you have not appropriated this grace, this is the time that you can appropriate it. This is the time that you can praise him. For that is the only way you can show forth your gratitude unto him for what he has done. If you have done that, keep faith. But if you have not done that, this is another hour. And as you take that crucial step this time, the Lord bless you.
Individual praise. What is meant by praise? Yes, we have it defined as commendation, favorable representation in words, or worship. In other words, anyone can praise anybody for any reason best known to him, and using commendable words, favorable words that will make the person is praising be happy. Praise in Christianity is an important component of our worship or service to our God. God desires our praises. He wants all this from us. There's a common saying that our God will not eat any food prepared unto him, but our praises and worship is so much desire. And this is a very important component of our worship unto God. We can have group praising God and we can have individuals equally praising God. I refer to group praising God as corporate praise unto God. The example of a group praising God are many in the scriptures. In the book of Exodus chapter 15, where Moses and Miriam led Israelites to praise and worship God for the miraculous safe that God has given unto them from their enemies. Also, we have other people in the scripture that render group praise unto God for what God has done in their lives. But we want to dwell on the topic individual praise. In other words, individually, we are expected to equally praise God. Naturally, man praises God for different reasons, especially when things unexpected good happens to you, you praise God. You sing. Sometimes you roll on the ground in appreciation unto God. And well, sometimes when you are able to allow the Spirit of God to go through your mind as you read the scripture, you can equally begin to praise God. Beholding the wonderful deeds of God, the greatness of God, the power of God, and so many things about God. Yes, you can have individual praises. Yes, group of angels too do praise God. We have verses in the scripture that affirm this. If you look at Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 27, we see there where Paul and Silas were praising God, even when it was not convenient for them, where they were bound, yet they praised God. I want to bring something out from this. It is not only the time when an individual is happy that you are expected to praise God. It is not when what you expect, what you pray for, what you ask for gets into your hand that you stand up to praise God. In fact, when what you are expecting has not got into your hand, it is a good thing. God appreciates this. Of course, you must be praising God in that situation, believing in your heart that you know whom you believe and is able, is up to the task, and he can do even more than expected. I say, even angels also praise God. If you look at Revelation chapter 5, 11 to 12, we see we are the group of angels in heaven who are praising God. All creatures also in heaven and on earth praise God for who God is. Why not man? Why not you? Psalm 100 verse 1 says that, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All ye lands. All ye lands here includes animate and inanimate things. To shout and praise God. God has created us all so that we can praise him. And first, for this purpose, he created man. I want us to see the psalmist while he was praising God. Psalm 89, he praised God for God's personality, who God is, for his mercies, his love and faithfulness, and his miracles. Verses 1 to 2 and verse 5. He was praising God also for his uniqueness. I don't know who you can compare God with. I don't know who is equal unto God. It's only a foolish person that will say there's no God. And for these reasons, we individually should be able to praise God. Also, he praised God for his righteousness and justice. Of course, we are in this world and we can see what is going on. We cannot compare people or what our experience is in this country presently to what our God is doing or can do. If God is very righteous and justice, equally praise God for his power. God's power. If you look at verse 9 to 13, he praised God for God's power. He says, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Who can do that? Who can do that? That is the power of God and many more things he can do. He creates all things strong and powerful. He rules over the sea and calms. He subdues waves and storms. He crushes his enemies and also scatters them. That is God we serve. And for this reason, whoever knows God, whoever trusts in God, whoever believes in God, whoever knows that he has no other support or strength through any other place, we know he has to be praising God. He has to be worshiping God. He has to be glorifying this God for who he is in our lives. Yes, he praised God also for provision. He provides for us. He meets our need. All you need to do is to call on him and depend on him. He satisfies our need. And for this reason, God deserves our praises. I want to say again, considering all these things, yes, you might ask for one thing, you might pray for one thing, and it may appear delayed. But that does not mean God does not deserve your praise. More so, when you call yourself a child of God. A child of God must cultivate that habit of giving praises unto God all the time. In fact, this is why we know you are a child of God. Even when you are not feeling comfortable, even when your prayers appear not to be answered, even when you knock the door and the door is yet to be opened unto you, yes, you must know that God deserves your praises. He has spared your life, you are alive, and he's provided for you. After all, if the air you breathe in, he provides it. The ground on which you walk, he provides it. And other things, he watches over you. God deserves our praise. I can understand one thing. You may not be able to praise God, maybe because you have not really recognized who God is, or you have not given your life unto this God. Except you do that, you may not see any reason why you have to praise God. Because probably you have not built house, probably you have not got a car of your choice, probably you have not passed an exam you have been worrying for so long, and so many other reasons. But I tell you, that will not be a reason for any child of God not to praise God. You have to be worshiping God, praising God, because God is faithful. God provides for us. He does every other thing for us. That is God we serve. In line with the heritage of Yoruba, they say, he that can think, entuba manuro, ale dupe. That is, if you can reason, think deeply, you will be able to appreciate and thank God. I can see the psalmist in Psalm 89, of course, reasoned very well, thought so deep, and then realized that he had to give praise unto God. In Exodus chapter 15:2, see what just happened. They crossed the Red Sea, where they thought there would be no way, where they thought their enemy would consume them, where they thought they are going to be perished. But God miraculously delivered them, and they broke into songs to praise God. Even though two people that could think deeply, that is Moses and Miriam, led them, but they all joined in praises unto God. My brother and my sisters, I want to implore us this morning that we have to cultivate that habit of praises unto God. Praise God not only when you get what you want, but praise him all the time. Whoever will render reasonable praise unto God will be the type that can reason very well. Think of so many things as regards his or our life, his past and present, and even future hope in God. This example abounds so much in the scripture. David did this, as you have read, and many other people too in the scripture. We have cited the example of Paul and Silas. Even when they are in bond, yet they praise God. The person must know God, he must believe and trust God's power, his saving grace, and his ability to meet every need of his or her life. The fellow must be a lover of God's word. Such a person will not but continue to appreciate and thank God, even when things are not going so well with him or her. Whoever will praise God, I tell you, will be somebody that is heaven bound, will not be controlled by situation around him, will not be controlled by what he gets or what he doesn't get, but is heaven bound. God expects us to have this mind to worship and to praise him as long as we are alive. I want to implore my listeners, you have to cultivate this habit of praises unto God. And as you do that, I can assure you, God will certainly visit you in a special way you have never expected before.
Our human frame understands the idea of everything being fast, such as fast lane, fast food, even nowadays 3G, 4G internet, such that it's even very difficult to fast and pray, as fasting and prayer becomes a tool. Yet we do not know that nothing becomes fast in life without fasting and prayer. However, Philippians chapter 4 verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." This scripture is an emphatic statement that tells us to rejoice in the Lord in every form of situation we find ourselves. No matter how we may define it, no matter what we may be passing through, we have an anchor scripture that says we should rejoice in the Lord always. This may become very difficult to practice in times of challenges. And one of the reasons why it is difficult is because synoptically, our vantage point when it comes to problems are always with a mindset that God is not good, or maybe God is partial, and etc., whereas He is not. I would like to give some reasons why we should praise God, especially in times of challenges. The issue of patience cannot be overemphasized in God's kingdom. In the book of Galatians chapter number 5 verse 22, where we have the record of the fruit of the Spirit, Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." That is verse 22. I noticed that patience and long-suffering follows each other. And the same way they follow each other in the scripture, I also noticed that even in the life settings, patience and long-suffering travels concurrently in the Christianity. I have also noticed that if, for example, a man is expected to suffer for long, for example, for like 1 hour, or he is expected to wait for 1 hour, if he has waited for like 1 hour, and when he is supposed to wait for 1 hour, 10 minutes, if after 1 hour he decides to leave and did not complete the remaining 10 minutes, the summary of the story is that he has never waited at all. The few 10 minutes that he refused to wait will be said of him that he did not wait at all. So I've noticed that patience and long-suffering, they are two major things that travels together. Our ability to exercise long-suffering in times of our challenges is also defined as patience. And this is a very paramount issue in this very discussion, because in times of challenges, when we are suffering in the will of God, as it were, then God is also trying to test our degree of patience. Number two reason why we have to understand the will of God in times of challenges is in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. The Bible says in verse 2 that, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what is in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." This is also the will of God here, that in times of challenges, one of the reasons why God is putting us to test is to check the state of our heart. Because even in the Yoruba concept, they believe that sometimes a man is not showing his true character when he is not having sufficiency. So Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2 says, "The Lord God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Number 1, to humble. Number 2, to prove. And 3, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou would keep his commandment or not. This is very paramount as we pass through challenges of life. God does this very deliberately for the children of Israelites, not because he cannot do otherwise, but he wanted to know what exactly is the state of their heart. Verse 3 furthermore says that he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, whether did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And finally, another reason why God is putting us to time of challenges is in the book of Psalm 136, a book where we have the mercies of God in full. We saw that the scripture started with, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercy endureth forever." And if you read along, you will notice that by the time we get to verse 16, the Bible says, "To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever." It is very common that our definition of mercy, especially in our generation, is that what we do not deserve that God does for us. But I've also come to notice from Psalm 136 verse 16 that the issue of the mercy of God is beyond that. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, "To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever." His mercy endureth forever. Even when we are passing through wilderness, his mercy is still enduring forever. Does that strike a chord in your heart? That in verse 17, "To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever." Something like, if you look at verse 5 or verse 9, we have the moon and the stars to rule by the night, for his mercy endureth forever. When we have all those positive things, they were also being ended with the mercies of God enduring forever. And a sharp contrast that in verse 16, when he lead us through the wilderness, is still the same mercy that endures forever. Verse 17, when he smote the great kings for the sake of Israelites, the Bible says his mercy endured forever. Verse 18, when he slew famous kings, is because his mercy still endured forever. And that is a matter for us, that even God, when he's doing certain things on our behalf, it is still because his mercy endureth forever. We may not be able to define, due to the scope of time, what kind of mercy is this that he is leading us through wilderness. My emphasis on verse 16 now. How can we say God's mercy is still enduring forever while we are passing through wilderness? Yes, his mercy is still endureth forever. And that is just the scripture. When he's leading us through the wilderness, it is because his mercy endureth forever. Because if his mercy is no longer available in the time of wilderness, it is so sure that we may not be able to come out of the wilderness experience. However, what is the result that God is expecting when we are passing through challenges? Romans chapter number 8, verse 28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." That is very emphatic as well, that all things, not many, not few, not some, all of those things that we can mention, the Bible says they are working together for good, not just for just every Dick and Harry, but the Bible says work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Then if your answer is yes, I can say to you that all those things that you are passing through, the Bible says that they are working together for good. And look at it again. It is not just working together for good. The Bible says also to them who are called according to his purpose. Are you in the center of the will of God? If yes, then relax your mind, because the Comforter will soon appear to you. Because the Comforter will soon come. It is though a challenge, it is though a trying time, but I want to assure you that God, who has started this great work, it is also a great work, so that you can come out as a gold through the furnace of fire. The three Hebrews, they went through fire, but when they came out, they didn't come out the same. In fact, their coming out led to the salvation of the king. And so it is that when we have allowed the Lord to make us through these challenges of life that we are passing through, our end result is that Besides that, our life is also being turned around positively. We can say then, oh, come and see. Then we can draw people to Christ through those challenges that God has used to announce our lives beautifully. I don't know what you are passing through, but I'm persuaded in my heart to tell you that it's just a matter of time. It will soon be over. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. May you be blessed as you have listened to this word.
What is praise? Praise means to extol, thanksgiving, and paying homage. We can praise in different ways, and we can praise different people. Our praise here is that which we give to Almighty God. And in this context, we shall examine why we praise God. One, we praise God because He is God, and with His natural qualities. He is self-existence. Exodus 3:14. God told Moses that I am that I am. God is eternal. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now unto God eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honored and glory forever. Amen. He is omnipresent. Acts 17:27 says, that they should seek the Lord, for haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He is omnipotent. He is infinite, that is, without end. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a son is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is morally perfect, holy, just, merciful, and He is love. The second reason why we should praise God is the creator of heaven and the earth. Psalm 24:2 says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the sea, and established it upon the floods. In Revelation 4:10-11, 24 elders fall down before Him, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for Thou art created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The third reason why we should praise God should be praised for nature. The heavenly bodies, the stars, moon, sun, rain, the plain, the mountain, the seas, oceans and waterfalls, animals, fishes, birds of different kinds. Genesis 1:3-25. The fourth reason is for creating man in his own image, after his own likeness, and giving man dominion on all he has created. He put man in the beautiful garden of Eden, where he has already provided all his needs. Genesis 1:26-31. The fourth reason is for our salvation. God restored man after his fall in the garden of Eden, after Adam had disobeyed God and brought sin to the world, by sending the second Adam in person of our Lord Jesus Christ to redeem and reconcile man to God through his atoning blood, which is shed on the cross of Calvary, thereby conquering death for us. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of death is sin, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The fifth reason is for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the power to receive and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Acts 2:2-4. John 1:12 says, but as many that received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to him that believed on his name. The sixth reason is for trials. Saints has cord of love that bind us more closely to the things above. Failures, losses, both physically and materially. Love of loved ones are not small. This is an aspect that human beings don't acknowledge. But the Bible tells us that we should give thanks in all things. Lastly, we thank God for the mysteries of life, the power to sleep and wake up, conception and deliverance of a child, growth from infant to adulthood, sowing and reaping, and a host of them. I pray that God will give us the gifts and the heart of thanksgiving. As the psalmist says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Amen.
Church in Praise. And I would like to discuss this issue by examining the two major words in this topic. Firstly, church, what the church is and what the church is not. Church is the New Testament name for the redeemed of the Lord. He is the representative of God on earth and the people whom the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to take home. Church is not a physical building like any of the various denominations we talk about this day. It is not Simon Peter as proclaimed in Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, or else we will not be able to overcome the gate of hell, because Peter himself denied Christ at a very critical moment. The church is nothing without the very person of Christ, that is, his birth, his undue suffering, his shameful death, his amazing resurrection and glorious ascension. Membership of the church. Membership of the church is not by birth, because God does not have any grandchild. It is not by inheritance. It is not by social status or material possession. Membership is given freely by God himself. No one becomes a member unless he or she believes and accepts the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given without charge. Though salvation is free, yet we have responsibilities. We are not saved in vain. We are saved to be responsible to God, who has graciously lavished all the heavenly and earthly blessings on us. We need to humbly and wholeheartedly demonstrate this as we worship him and serve other brethren, irrespective of faith, tribe, tongues, or race. Therefore, as part of our responsibility to this awesome God, it is true that we have to give praise from the depth of our hearts. What then is praise, and how can the church show her praise of the Almighty? Praise, on the other hand, is an act of giving honor or assign a value to, or to commend, to extol, or to glorify someone in worship. This may take the form of oral expression of the majesty of the person being adored or praised, or use of music with appropriate musical instruments. The church has a lot to praise and adore God for. You can praise, or God can be praised for his being, that is what God is, for his power, and praise him for his wonders, and praise him for his mercy and works. For example, in the various books of the Bible, particularly the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I want to read from verses 11 to 13. When King David, before the congregation of Israel, was presenting items for the construction of the temple, he praised God like this: "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. In Psalm 48:14, the psalmist says, "For this God is our God, forever and ever. He will be our God, even unto death." This is a glaring call to us as believers today, that in all circumstances of life, we should be ready to worship, adore, and praise this our God, even to the point of death. Why should we praise the Lord? It's a very critical question. As many things we look up to, at times it may be that God has not really answered us. But do we have any reason to praise God? Let us look at it. From all the above mentioned instances, we see that it is mandatory for every human being to cultivate the attitude of praising God for who he is. You praise God not only because he blesses or he keeps you or he protects you, but for what or who he is and what he is doing. God is our creator. That's number one thing. He created us. Two, he is our provider. There's nothing that we have on earth now. God created them before he created human beings. And therefore, he is the owner of everything. Anything he gives to us is what we have. Three, he is our protector. We go all about, you see people, be involved in one form of calamity or the other, and you go the same way, and you come back safely. It is by special grace of God Almighty. He also gives everything that makes life easy for us. Breathing air every day, the sunshine, moon, the sun, all these things are given freely by God. Furthermore, he sent his only begotten son to die for our sins. It's the reason why we should celebrate him. Therefore, let every being that has breath cultivate the art of praising God, including his church here on earth.
Praise the King of glory, he is God alone.
I give God glory, honor, and adoration for making the release of this CD possible, the second in the series of my vow to proclaim his name all over the world. May his name be praised forever. I thank all those that took part to make it a reality for their selfless contribution, and I pray that we should reign with Christ in his Father's kingdom. Amen.
All his world shall praise him. All his world shall praise him. All his world shall praise him. Bless the Lord.